You're listening to a resource from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to promote excellence in biblical counseling. For more resources or to find out more information about ACBC, please visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started, everyone. Hope you're enjoying the conference so far. There's been a lot of really great sessions already, so I hope that this just kind of helps you get an idea of what ACBC certification is about. I'm just going to start by introducing myself. I'm Emily Staley. I'm the Membership Services Coordinator at ACBC. So if you are going through certification, you're going to be getting a lot of emails from me, and I'm going to be the one that you can reach out to if you have any questions or run into any problems or anything like that. So don't hesitate to reach out. That's what I'm there for, is to help you go through certification and answer any questions that you have. So kind of what I'm going to do for our time together is I'm going to go kind of an overview of ACBC certification, and then I'm going to give you a look at our new certification dashboard. Last year we debuted this, and it was this brand new website that we built, customized to ACBC certification. It can be a little tricky to navigate if you're unfamiliar with it, so I'm just going to go through a couple of things just to get you kind of oriented around there, so you're not, if you haven't looked at it before, you're not going in completely blind. And then I'm going to try to save a bunch of time for questions. A lot of people have questions during certification, so I want to make sure I answer everything that I can. But if you have other questions come up after the fact, you're always welcome to call the office or send us an email. So one thing I wanted to touch on first is just some benefits to ACBC certification. So a lot of people practice biblical counseling, or they are discipling in their local churches, but sometimes they wonder why they should become ACBC certified. And one of the big reasons is that we have ongoing accountability. So this is where we ask your pastors for feedback every year for members of just, you know, they're still overseeing your counseling, they're attesting to your character, that you're a member in good standing. And then if there's problems with counseling, that we can intervene or help guide you and just make sure that our counselors are being held accountable if they're ACBC certified. You also are going to be included on our Find a Counselor map. And so this is where somebody can go if they're looking for a biblical counselor. They can type in their zip code or their city, and they can find a counselor near them. And there's filters. If you speak a different language, we have counselors that speak languages other than English. And so there's a lot of tools on that map. So that's where ACBC counselors can be included. And then we also have free member resources, including webinars, printed materials, and other things that we've made accessible to our members. And then you can even just network with other biblical counselors, which is very valuable. If you want to reach out to them, you can be like, hey, I'm also ACBC certified. I saw that you wrote on this topic. Can you help me? I have a case that I'm struggling with that I could use help with. So there's a lot of, you know, connections that you can make by being an ACBC certified counselor. So when you're starting ACBC certification, the first place you'll want to go to is our website. There's a lot of really great information about ACBC on there, including our history. So I'm not sure how familiar you are with the history of ACBC, but we started off as the National Association of Nouthetic Counselors, or NANC, back in 1976. And then we switched our names to ACBC, or the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, about 10 years ago. And so that was kind of a big shift. But this is a good reflection because, you know, the National Association, ACBC is not just national anymore. We have members all over the country. We have training centers all over the country. We now have 4 training centers between Central and South America, which we're really excited about. So we're really trying to expand. And so we are now more of an international organization. And so we're very thrilled about that. So you can find more about ACBC and also our standards of conduct and standards of doctrine, really what core beliefs ACBC holds to and what our board has set as our standards. That's going to really define who we are. And so you can find a lot of good information there. And so then if you are ready to pursue ACBC certification, you will want to create an account. Like, that's the number one thing that you want to do. And there's a ton of good information that you'll access through your dashboard. And so this is you can't really see it. There is a small picture of what that'll look like when you first create an account. And you'll just want to click get started, and that'll take you into the certification dashboard. Even if you want to like open up your laptops now or your devices and create an account and follow along, you're more than welcome to do that. So I recommend just like a quick tip using like a personal email, not work or school. People change jobs, people graduate from school. And so it's kind of hard to keep track of that if you don't have a personal email. So just a couple more tips for using our dashboard, and I'll get into this a little bit more later as I show you and pull it up. But each phase has its own set of instructions. It has an FAQ, it has a tutorial video, and so that just kind of shows you how those things work. So those are good resources if you ever have questions specifically about our dashboard. And I also recommend logging things as you do them and not trying to catch up all at once. If you do 1,000 pages of reading and then trying to remember like, okay, how much did I read of each book? It's good to just log those as you go. And then each phase, we have a checklist at the bottom. So you'll just want to make sure that all those things are checked off before you request the review and move on to the next phase. So the phase one, if we can get into the phases more specifically, we've geared these phases to help equip you and strengthen your skills as a biblical counselor. But then also there is that element of evaluating your skills more in phase two and phase one. But phase one is really, or phase two and phase three, but phase one is really the learning phase. I recommend if you're interested in starting biblical, starting certification, start by reading our standards of conduct and doctrine. All of our counselors and all of our people going through certification are required to sign that they affirm and agree with those standards of doctrine and conduct. This is something that sometimes people just, they read them and like the terms and conditions that just check, oh yeah, I read that. But we really do want you to read through these because, you know, if we see there's some kind of conflict between like the doctrine of the church you attend and our doctrine of conduct, then you won't be able to move forward in the certification process. So just making sure that you can affirm those and that your church is also in alignment with those standards of doctrine and conduct. So that's one part of phase one. And then the fundamentals training is really a great place to begin. That kind of shows you what biblical counseling is about. And we have a lot of options for biblical, for training. We have about 90 certified training centers that you can go through. And we have ones that have online options, more go at your own pace, that are more low cost. Then we also have seminary options where you can actually enroll in degree programs. And if you really want to dedicate a lot of time and money into that, then you're welcome to do that. But we have kind of things that can fit everybody where they're at. I'm personally in the Midwestern's Masters of Biblical Counseling program, and it's been wonderful, and it walks through all three phases, but there are different options. So you can find those on our website, and we have them all over the U.S., and we have a handful of them in other countries as well. So I encourage you, we have a map that you can take a look at just to see if there happens to be one close by you. Really take advantage of that. Having in-person training, I really can't emphasize this enough, is so much different. Like online's great if that's your only option, but if you can be in person, then you can interact with other biblical counselors, people who are already certified, get guidance, and really, you know, hone in on your questions that you may have. And ACBC also has regional training events. We call them Counseling and Discipleship Training, or CDTs. And we host those a couple each year all over the country. Like we had some in, we're doing Baton Rouge and Kingsburg, California this fall. I think that's where we're training at. But we kind of rotate them around the country, maybe where we don't have as much presence in terms of training centers. So the other part of phase one is going to be your observation hours. So this is 10 sessions adding up to at least 10 hours with an ACBC certified counselor or from an approved video set. So you have some options. If you have a counselor, maybe an ACBC certified counselor in your church or in your area, you can reach out to them and be like, hey, I'm interested in going through ACBC certification. Can I sit in on a session with you if your counselee agrees to it? We really encourage that so you can see these live sessions. But if that's not an option, we do have a approved video sets through a couple of different avenues that you can find on our website. And then the reading. So the minimum is 1,000 pages from approved reading list, and 300 of those pages must be from the theology section of the list, which you can also see on our website. So as one tip, I would recommend maybe not doing all of your reading in a systematic theology, but at least having a systematic theology on hand for when you get to your exams. Those are really helpful just as a reference point. But you'll want to look at the reading list and choose from it that it's going to give you a broad introduction to biblical counseling that will equip you for a variety of topics. There's a lot of good, all the books on there are great, but some of them are pretty narrow in their focus. And so they may not be as helpful as you're preparing for to take the exams. And so then, as I listed on here, the other items needed for phase one, your church information. So before moving out of phase one, you would have to be a member at your local church, and then also signing the statements and affirmations that are listed on our website. So that includes the standards of doctrine, the standards of conduct, and then there's a series of statements that our board has put out clarifying on certain issues and addressing specific issues that have come up that weren't as clear in the original standards of doctrine and conduct. So phase two is the exams and evaluation phase. So the big one is the exams. This is, I'm still working on my exam, so I know it's a big challenge. So there are 44 essay questions between the theology and the counseling exam. 24 theology questions, 20 counseling questions. We did actually just update our exams recently. So if you've done the old versions, that's fine. You can still submit those. We tweaked some language just to clarify on the questions because some of them candidates were getting kind of confused. So we were like, okay, we need to adjust this a little bit. So you'll find those on the dashboard. And we've tried to just make it a little bit clear of what we're asking for. We do also, certain training centers also offer exam prep classes. Well, they'll go through the questions with you and kind of give you some guidance of what we're looking for in terms of the content of your answer. So I would really encourage you to, if you're interested in that or you're having trouble with your exams, to look for one of those exam prep classes. We also provide templates that give you the right format. We do check the formatting on this, not super closely, but we do have pretty strict guidelines on a page to a page and a half for each answer. This just shows that you can clearly and succinctly give your answer because, you know, in a counseling session, you're not talking like you would in an essay. You don't have pages and pages and pages to describe something. You have about an hour to get to the point with somebody. So we just want to make sure that you can articulate these key doctrines and these key counseling concepts very clearly and in a short way so it's clear to a lot of people. And one thing I should also mention is that you should probably expect to do rewrites on your exam. I would say about 80% of people at least have to do one round of rewrites. So that's where your grader may ask you like, okay, this wasn't very clear, or this scripture doesn't really say that. Can you clarify? Can you expound on that? That sort of thing. And so there's sometimes they ask you to rewrite questions or revise your questions. And that's really quite normal. That happens to most people going through the certification process. So if that happens, don't be discouraged. This is an opportunity for you to grow and even ask questions of your grader if you don't understand. And they're really gracious and they want to interact with you. So even if you want to give them a call, like we give you their contact information, and you're welcome to contact them. They're happy. They're more than willing to answer questions you may have about your exams. We also have short answer questions, and this just asks briefly about your approach to counseling, your conversion to Christ, things like that, and we look over those. And then there's evaluation and confirmation of church membership. So we ask a colleague evaluation. So this can be really anybody except a family member or your spouse, friends, coworkers, bosses, former pastors. But then the pastor elder evaluation, this has to be your current pastor or elder. It can't be a former one. Sometimes this gets people a little bit confused. But the reason we ask this is that we're asking for them to attest to your character, but also we want to make sure that you're counseling under the authority of your local church. ACBC, as I hope you know, we emphasize the local church a lot. Like that's where the counseling happens. That's where the true authority lies under the pastors and elders there. So we just want to make sure that they're aware of your counseling, that they're in support of it. So that's why we ask from your current pastor. And then there's a church membership letter that just confirms that you're a member in good standing and that you're under the authority of your church. Then once you pass both of your exams, you would move on to phase three, which is the supervision stage. This is when you're actually going to start counseling, and then you're going to be working with one of our fellows. We have about 55 fellows, and they're going to be supervising your counseling. So this happens remotely. Some people get confused that they think they have to be physically with their supervisor. But what happens is that you would have about five sessions, maybe with the same person or different people, You write up case report forms and you email those to your supervisor. They take a look at them and then you dialogue about those sessions over the phone, maybe a video call. So it happens remotely and you don't have to have a fellow like in your proxy near you if you don't have one. So we get a lot of questions about that. And there's a lot of options for our fellows. Some of them just supervise people in their degree programs, but other ones supervise a lot of people from all over the country. So they're we have a lot of options. If you need help reaching out to a fellow, just reach out to the office and we can help direct you. So the time frame for phase three is you have 1 year to complete 50 hours or 50 sessions adding up to at least 50 hours of counseling from the time you pass your exams. We do have some ways that we can offer extensions if like something happens, you know, life happens and it's unexpected sometimes. So we're more than happy to work with you, but that deadline, we try to stick to it as quick or as much as possible, just so that you're getting through certification in a timely way. And because of, you know, with COVID and everything else this last year, we have started to allow for video calling to count for these sessions. So if you're doing counseling over Zoom, if you're in phase three, that would count and be just fine. So that is phase three supervision. And then I just want to touch on the membership application. This is also the same thing that you will be pretty much doing every year to renew, except the background check. So you assign the membership covenant. You request a pastor, elder, ecclesiastical authority form. That just goes to your pastor, your elder, or like our Presbyterian brothers and sisters. They can send that to I'm not really familiar with the Presbyterian world, but it goes to somebody else. So that's why it says that. So then that's what you'll have to do every single year. And then you'll request a background check. This is for U.S. citizens only at this time, and that is only every 5 years. So you'll do this the first time, but then you won't have to do it for another 5 years. And then you'll pay your membership dues, and that's the last step. And then you're officially certified. So those are all the steps of certification. I just covered that in about 15 minutes, but it takes people a couple of years usually. So there's a lot more work that goes into it, but that's what you can kind of expect broadly. And so then if you have questions, these are our two main emails that you can reach us at. certification@biblicalcounseling.com. Those come to me. info@biblicalcounseling.com. Those go to Oksana, our admin assistant, and she will usually just forward them to me too. So one way or another, they'll make their way to me. So then I just want to, before we kind of open up the floor and get into your questions, I do want to show you the dashboard and what that looks like. Okay. So I have commandeered my husband's email because I've used all my emails for testing purposes. And so let me hop back to phase one. Okay, so this is what phase one will look like when you first open it up. Here's this certification FAQ. Here are the instructions, the tutorial video, and then there's also another introduction video. Here's where you'll fill out your contact details. So under the contact details is going to be just like your address, those sorts of things, your church information, your education background. So if you have like a seminary degree or your college degree or other master's, that's information that we want to know. And that's also where you'll fill out your short answer questions. You don't have to fill out your short answer questions for phase one. Those are just required for phase two though. This is where you'll record your training. So we have, as you can see, we have a lot of training centers all over the place. And then there's different modes of training. You'll note the location, the fundamentals, the year fundamentals completed. So we just need the year that was done. So if you completed your fundamentals this year, 2021, you'll just put 2021. We don't need the month. We do require that you submit your exams within 4 years of taking fundamentals training. So if you do fundamentals this year, 2021, then you have till the end of 2025 to submit your exams for grading. This is just to make sure that you know, the fundamentals is still pretty fresh in your mind and that it hasn't been too long or things haven't changed in terms of like our standards for our training, because we do update that sometimes. And then starting next in 2022, we will be requiring all of the course instructors to be ACBC certified. So you will need to note the names of your instructors and list them there. This is a change we're kind of implementing, and we're going to make sure that our training centers are on board and they're fully aware, but we'll just need to know your instructors' names and if, like, you're in a seminary class, the courses that you took. We will also start requiring at the beginning of 2022, certificate of completion, not certification, that's different. Certificate of completion. This will be given to you probably digitally by your training center. They all have the templates. We are working with them so that they can give them to everybody who's completed certification. But if you complete your fundamentals training in 2022 or beyond, you will be required to provide this. So just to make a note of that. Here is where you'll read all of the different statements and affirmations, and then there's an option to sign them at the bottom. It'll take you here, and then you'll put your signature in and submit. Oh, back to membership application. So here's the observation date. So record the observation log. The date, you know, sometimes you forget, approximate date is just fine. What we do need, though, is the name of the counselor. So some people just put like IBCD videos, that we can't take that because they have more than just 10 counselors. So we do need the name of the counselor. And if you're in person, we do check to make sure that that person is ACBC certified. And then session length, so just hours and minutes. Sorry, it keeps jumping me back to membership application. So then there's also the reading log. And we have all of our different books here that are on our approved reading list. So you don't have to, you can just scroll through until you find it. And then the number of pages. If you do like an ebook, you can just like look on Amazon how many pages that book is and give like an approximation, which is fine. So then in phase two, this is where you have a lot of good resources. So make a note of this. So we have the overview, a tutorial video, but we also have an exam study guide, which we will need to update. But we do have videos of all of the, just a couple minutes of like some of our fellows and leaders talking about each of the questions, kind of giving you an idea of like, okay, what are we talking about with here? What are we looking for? So definitely take advantage of those. And even with the changes we made with the exams recently, those are still going to be really helpful. Then we have exam formatting instructions, and here's where you can download the templates. So you can literally just download this, save it to your computer, and there's boxes where you can start typing your answers. And then once you're ready, you'll upload your exams here. So you'll upload your theology exam and you'll upload your counseling exam there, and they're going to be two separate documents. And then once you do that, then you'll have the options to request the evaluations and pay the application fee that goes to our graders. So that's what the phase two dashboard looks like. The fellow selection. So what we have here is a customized link for each candidate going through. So when you copy and paste this and send it to a fellow, and only fellows can see it. So if you try to open it, you won't be able to see it. But they get to see all of your information. They get to see everything that you've submitted and the evaluations that have been submitted on your behalf. So they can take a look at it and get to know you a little bit better. So what you'll want to do is, following the fellow selection guidelines, you'll email these fellows. You'll kind of introduce yourself. You'll include that link in that email so they can take a look at your exams and all of that sort of stuff. And then they will let you know if they're available to supervise or not. Here's the list of our available fellows. So this is kind of like a randomized list. They don't update it as often as I hope they would, but some of the gentlemen are not going to be, they may not be available at the time that you do request them, but most of these people should. So we have a lot of fellows, a lot of ones to take a look from, and you can even see their email and where they're located in case there is one in your area. So then once you email one of them and they confirm that they will work with you as a fellow, then you can go here and type in their last name first, and then you can find them, send them that request, and then they just confirm in the system that they are willing to work with you.
That only occurs after you submit the
exams. After you pass your exams, yes. Okay. So then the membership application. This is where you affirm the covenant, the background check. So you'll fill that out. And then it usually processes in just a couple of days. And then the request, the church authority evaluation. And then once all those things have been completed, then you'll pay your dues, and then you're going to be an official ACBC member. At that point, the certification dashboard will close. You'll have the option to request a physical copy of your certificate, which we'll send out about quarterly each year. And then there's also access. We have some, like, you can buy like ACBC gear. It's basically the same store that we have right now, but we make that available to members around the year round. So then you can look more at your account for the new member resources that I mentioned. And there's a lot of different, it'll be back on this page, actually. On this page, then you would have free member resources on this side. So that's a general overview of our dashboard. I just kind of wanted to get your eyes on it just because it is new and some people have some trouble with it. I understand because it is a new system. So I just kind of want to introduce that. So now we have about 30 minutes. This is where I kind of just want to open up the floor to you guys and answer questions if you have any thoughts or anything like that. I just want to take the time to answer those questions for you that you have. Yeah.
Where we find that again, what's the website?
Biblicalcounseling.com. Mm-hmm.
On the phase two,
On
the templates for the exams,
yeah.
Say I downloaded those months ago,
mm-hmm.
and I start working on them offline. What happens if they're updated, or whenever I download and start working, that's going to set, you know, snap the chalk line? So how does that work?
Yeah, so the changes we made to the exams were more just like wording changes. And so our graders know that, like, if they see the older versions, then those are totally fine. But for instance, like Theology 21 and 22 about like the Holy Spirit, like what's the role of the Holy Spirit? Then how does the Holy Spirit guide Christians today? There's a lot of confusion and people basically answer them the same way. So we like provide some clarifying language on those. And then I think it's maybe Theology 5 or 6. It's like the noetic effect of sin and the noetic effect of sin and common grace questions. We also just changed the wording on those a little bit. So if you're working on the old ones, that's totally fine. If you do want to use the new templates, you can download them and just like copy and paste your answers over. But don't feel like you have to redo your answers if you've been working on the old templates. What other questions do you guys have? Yep.
I have a couple questions.
Yep.
Is there a minimum counseling load that you ask for ACBC?
No. So to maintain membership really is just the renewal or the same thing as the membership application. So it's those same steps. So some people aren't as active and they just choose not to renew because they're not really actively counseling, but we don't require like a minimum load. So tonight is the member meeting. We are going to have a vote on whether or not we're going to implement continuing education requirement. And in that case, not necessarily counseling would count for that, but other things associated with counseling, like observing other counselors or training, doing biblical counseling training and other advanced training options, those would count towards the CEUs. So that may become a requirement starting in 2022, but that's dependent on the membership meeting today.
Okay. How do you find a fundamentals training center?
Mm-hmm.
Use that online?
Yeah. So we have those online. Here, let me pull up our training center map real quick. Yeah, so we have a lot of different options, and it really just depends on like what works best for you. So we have some online options that are more like work at your own pace. They're videos, but they also have other materials kind of to supplement that. Some of our training centers do offer more of like a live online version where you're kind of Zooming with them, and you have kind of more of like, there are like sort of like tutoring sessions in a way. So there's a lot of good options. So let me pull up that training center map real quick. Okay. Okay, so this is our Get Training map. And so you can look for training centers or training events. So we'll do training centers first. So where are you located at, if you don't mind me asking?
Minnesota,
okay. Let's do Minneapolis and we'll make the we'll expand the okay. So in north of Minneapolis, we have Cross Point Church. So Randy Westerberg, he's one of our fellows. He's the director there. So then we could even like expand that to 250 miles, which is a long way. And then we have Crosswalk Church, which is actually near Green Bay. So that may be a little bit further away. But that's how you would use our training center map. And then if you wanted to check events and see if there's like a regional event coming to your area, then that you could use the same map.
So like a training center like that, would that be kind of a one-time event as well, or is that, would that be a lot of commuting?
So it depends. So for instance, like Faith Lafayette, they do a lot of different formats. They do one that's like a Monday night class that's kind of more like on a semester, like a semester long or two semesters long. But then they also have like a 1 week conference where you go there for a full week and you get the whole fundamentals. So there are different, there are a lot of different formats with our training centers. So it really just depends on each, which one you're looking at. Yeah, all their websites should like detail that out pretty well. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, go ahead. You'll go to training and certification. It'll just say get training. Yep. Mm-hmm.
What kind of form do you get if you're a pastor for the endorsement?
Mm-hmm. So it's asking about the candidate's spiritual maturity. How long have you been their pastor? Do you approve of their counseling? Do you have any reservations? Just kind of asking, you know, their willingness to submit to leadership. So just kind of general questions like that. We understand if like sometimes pastors, that someone hasn't been in their church very long, and we take into account that. But as long as like what they see, if they become a member, it seasons fine, and they're willing to oversee their counseling, then that's all right if they don't know them as well.
You're a pastor yourself.
Oh, yeah. So in that case, another elder or another pastor of the church or some other male authority figure in the church. So sometimes not all like Baptist churches have another elder or pastor, so like a deacon or someone like that would be fine. Yeah, so we have some ways. Even with like, you know, really small church plants or like house churches, like we have some gentleman in China going through and he's the sole pastor at a house church. So in his case, we made the exception. So kind of like a sister house church in a nearby city, that pastor was able to fill out his form. So things like that, we're willing to work with you. So if you have any questions, you can just reach out to us. Mm-hmm.
I have a statement then kind of a two-part question.
Yeah.
My statement is this is my first time being exposed to ACBC.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, but my two-part question is this.
Mm-hmm.
What's the level of investment that you expect to place into the course of study
mm-hmm.
to become certified? I mean, the range, I know, you know, and it is that range predicated upon what your goal is in terms of being just a volunteer?
Yeah.
Or you're going to be on someone's staff and you're going to do this more or less as a more professional, I hate to use the word.
Right.
But a more professional track.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great question. So we have training options. Some of our training options are free or about a couple hundred dollars. The observation videos, I think those sets, if you can't observe someone in person, are a little bit less than 100. The reading, it just kind of depends on which books you pick. But then the application fee or the grading fee is $100. And then our supervision fee is probably the biggest upfront cost. So the reason why the supervision fee is as high as it is because your fellow is going to be putting in a lot of work with you over the course of a year. They're going to be looking and reading over your case reports. They're going to be talking to you on the phone, maybe once a week, maybe once every other week, for about an hour. So that supervision fee, they're allowed to charge up to $750 for the entirety of phase three. Some of them split that into two chunks. So you pay one upfront and then the next in the kind of in the middle. You know, you can complete the whole certification process for about $1,000 from start to finish, and that's spread out over time. Or you can do a master's program and it can be a lot more. But you're getting a lot more in-depth study than you may at one of our other training center options. So it just really depends. And that's why I encourage you to look at our other training centers, see what kind of fits best. Some of our volunteers definitely, or people who are just like lay counselors in the church, we understand that not everybody's going to be doing this full time, or they're not a pastor who counsels 10 hours or 15 hours or 20 hours a week. And so we do want to make it accessible for the lay counselor who are just trying to pour into their body. You know, we're trying with certification, it is rigorous, but we do want to make it accessible for people who don't maybe have a seminary education or even a college degree. We have people that go through who've just retired and they've decided that you just want to pour into their local church. And so they have completed certification and it's a labor of love, definitely, but it's worth it. So we do have ways that it's more accessible if you're just, you know, counseling here or there, or just want to be better equipped to disciple in your local church.
So mm-hmm. I agree with the rigor. I don't have a problem with that. I do have, I'll be honest, I do mm-hmm. have a bit of a problem with paying to be a volunteer. I have a little bit of
yeah.
a tiny bit.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
I just want to make sure that the investment mm-hmm. doesn't outweigh the desire to volunteer.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so just to kind of give you an idea of what those membership dues go to, that's, you know, supporting our staff at ACBC. That's helping us give you more resources. And, you know, we have to put in a lot of like work to on our website, like some of that just those supportive things. So to be certified, you know, that carries like a level of like, okay, this person has met ACBC standards. And so, you know, what some people have mentioned is like, okay, I have a family member across the country and you know, they're struggling with something. I can reach out to an ACBC counselor and I can be confident that they'll receive good counsel. And so that's the value of that certification. And some people, you know, they don't do it often enough and they may just not think that it's worth that monetary investment. And, you know, that's their decision and we're not going to dissuade you from that. You are more than welcome to take training and go to our training centers, even if you don't decide to pursue ACBC certification later on. Yeah.
I was just going to say, is the supervision fee just due before phase three starts or do we pay that before phase one?
No, so you'll do that once you get into phase three and you connect with that fellow. And not all of them charge that maximum amount, and they kind of vary it depending on their circumstances. And so it's very much tailored to that. But our board has capped it at that amount. Yep.
Now, I do have just one yep. last question.
Yep.
What is your all's opinion about other certification programs like CIMBUS, and Prepared and Enriched? We're actually certified in both. So we already
yeah.
merge counseling, but I'm just trying to get an idea. Yes, coaching.
Yeah, so I'm not familiar with those ones. That'd be a good question to like email us and send us some links just so we can take a look at that. Sometimes we do make sure that if you hold other kind of credentials, that those don't conflict with ACBC. So that's just kind of on a case-by-case basis, but I'm not familiar with those off the top of my head.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, over here.
The observation videos, uh-huh. are they redone or new? How often do they get?
We have some from IVCD.
Yeah, those are great. So you can just watch those. You don't have, those aren't a time limit on those ones.
Okay. Do you have a set there?
Are there others?
So there's one from Faith. There's one from IBCD, and there's another one that I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's not one of the more popular ones. Either people use IBCD or the Faith one.
And do you know, are there any of those available to buy?
I don't think so. I don't think they're selling any of them this week, but you can also purchase them digitally. Like, you can just download the videos.
I saw them since I've been here.
Yeah, IBCD may have some at their booth.
Okay. And then for the observation, no. The observation video,
yeah.
Is that the same as meeting with a counselor, with a fellow to do those 50 hours?
Yeah, so the observations are different. So the observations is just you sitting in on a session, watching another counselor and a counselee. The supervision is where you are counseling yourself, and then your fellow is going to help give you guidance about those cases and help you grow in that area. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So where do the observation videos fit in? Phase two?
Phase one.
Phase phase one.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So if you've already watched those IBCD videos, you can go log those on your dashboard and just list the counselor's names. And that would, you'd probably fill up that requirement already. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, go.
One more. Yeah. Once you have the training and the outreach videos, so you all log that in, mm-hmm. then Calafoy is going to expire.
Yeah.
Is that count then? So then would we have time after that to finish the exams?
So whatever year you finish your training, you have 4 years to submit your exams. So if you do need to do like a refresher is what we call it. If you have a recording of the training you originally did, if you just rewatch it, that should be fine. Or we have the option, we have our, ACBC has its own online training set, video set, and we have like a discount code if you're doing a refresher course. So you can just give us a contact if you do need an extra 4 years. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right.
You mentioned there's network with other biblical counselors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so either through like our training events, you can find them through the map or just like at our annual conference. So sometimes they even will ask like, hey, I'm looking for other counselors in our area, ACBC certified counselors, just, you know, to kind of connect. And so we have the opportunity to share that information with our members. Yeah, so some like you have the option to like if you want to like find out if there's more counselors in your area other than what's already on the map, then we'd be happy to share that information with other certified counselors.
So just go on the map and look.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So under the education part or instruction part, if you already have a seminary degree but it's not in counseling,
yeah.
Some of those like theology classes are in the school towards that, or do you have to take
if it's not from one of our certified training centers or one of the approved classes, then it won't count towards fundamental training, but those are really good equipping tools. The reason we have our fundamentals training set up the way it is that we've already vetted the curriculum. We know that it's covering all of the key points. And so even if you've already done some degree or have some like Bible college background, if it's not from one of our certified training centers, it won't necessarily count towards our fundamentals training. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you ever become inactive,
yeah.
Is there a time period where you need to become active again? Otherwise, you have to like start over with your counseling process? Or
are you talking about certification or once you're a member?
Once you're a member.
Yeah, so once you're a member, if your membership expires, we do have a reinstatement process, and that changes depending on how long you've been expired. So sometimes it's pretty simple. If it's just like a year, like, oh, I forgot to renew this year, we can get you reinstated pretty easily. But if it's been a number of years, it's a little bit more of like, okay, maybe you need to do some new training and that sort of thing. But we have a process for that. Mm-hmm. Do we have any other questions? Yeah.
How does a supervisor supervise your training or your counseling sessions?
Yes. Yeah, that's a great question. So what happens in phase three is that you'll start counseling yourself. And with each counselee that you get, you'll have them fill out a personal data inventory and also sign a consent form. But that personal data inventory, it really gives you a good idea or gives you a pretty good idea of what's going on. So then you'll share that with your fellow. And then after every session, they'll have you fill out what's called the case report form. And so it's like 16 pretty detailed questions about how the session went, what homework you assigned, how did that go, was it helpful, you know, what scripture did you use, how do they respond, how are they growing, and so it's a pretty detailed form. It takes about a couple of hours sometimes to fill out. So that gives a lot of good information. So about every 5 sessions or so, then you're going to share those case report forms with your supervisor. Another part of that is we require that you record at least 5 sessions, and you'll obviously have to get the consent of the counselee before doing that. And you'll share those audios with your fellow. So sometimes they're like, okay, I want you to record your first session. So it's a little nerve wracking, but they just want to see like how, where you are and help you grow. So you'll record 5 sessions, and they may even ask you to do more, but at least 5. So you'll also share that with them throughout the throughout the phase. So then once you share that information with them, every week or every other week, depending on how many people you counsel or how frequently you're counseling, then you'll set up a phone meeting or like a Zoom call meeting with your fellow, and you'll walk through those case report forms. And they're going to be giving you feedback, and they're going to kind of push back, maybe even be like, okay, why did you do this? Did you ask about this? I saw this on the PDI, but I don't see any information on it. And really, they're just trying to help you grow as a counselor at that point. And so then that happens over the course of several months to a year, over 50 sessions. And so you'll have at least 10 meetings with that fellow, sometimes more, but at least 10. And so that's kind of how that's set up. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sometimes it's a little vague, especially if you're not near them. And they're not going to be sitting in on those counseling sessions, but they have the audios, and that gives them a pretty good idea. And I'm doing the case report forms, and those are pretty extensive. So they'll have a good idea of what's going on in those sessions. And I would recommend to do the case report form shortly after your counseling session, so you can actually, all that stuff's fresh. Take good notes, you know, that's all really helpful. Yeah.
You guys have like focused training sessions for addressing like specific struggles and like.
Yeah. So, you don't necessarily have to be certified to take our specialization training, but once you are certified, you can become specialized, and we have three specializations currently. We have a marriage specialization, a reconciliation specialization, and then an addiction specialization. And I believe we're even going to be adding more in the future. And so what that looks like is kind of like a mini certification process where you'll do the training. There's like a objective exam, and then there's some case studies, and those are then would be graded by one of our specialization graders. And so we do have those specialization training. We also have advanced training tracks. So that's advanced methodology and advanced theology that we offer, our training centers offer in different places. But a lot of our training centers offer different options for advanced training for specific things.
Those are additional costs.
Yes, those are additional costs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, depending on the training center, I wouldn't know off the top of my head what those formats look like either. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. This is very helpful.
Yeah.
Two questions. Mm-hmm. One is for the 50 years, if you don't have that many people looking for counsel in your local church, or how does that work?
Yeah, so you have some options, and you know, your fellow can even help with this if you're having trouble finding counselees. You can reach out to other maybe like-minded churches. We've even had people just like post on Facebook like, hey, I'm offering free counseling. Who's interested? And she got a lot of interest. I think you'd be surprised once people find out that you're offering counseling, even if they're not necessarily interested in biblical counseling at first, like they're just looking for help. And so, some people are like, okay, I'm not really sure how that would look, but your fellow can definitely help with that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You had a question?
Yeah. If you can't attend a fundamentals course in person or an event, how do you initiate online?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have an online training page, and we have several different options. So I believe our seminaries offer like online training options, like online degrees, and then some of our other training centers also have online training. So we have our own, and it's good if that's the only option, but we have other options. So Low Country is one that offers all on-demand, all-in-one training that's fundamental. So then on here, it has little tags, whether it's fundamentals or exam prep, advanced training, marriage specialization, addiction specialization. So you just want to make a note of that to find the fundamentals. Biblical Counseling Center, they also have a Foundations of Biblical Counseling online class, RTS, RPTS, Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Faith Biblical Counseling Center. So there's several options, and you just want to look for like those on demand. The ones that say on demand, those are the ones that you can kind of just pick up whenever you want. But then other ones have more of a start date, so you can make a note of that also.
What page is that?
So this is the training and certification. Wait, let me go back real quick. Yeah, so if you training certification and you scroll down, there's a button that says online training. Yep.
Mm-hmm. How did you get to the different counselors in your area.
Counselors in your area, yeah. This is the Find a Counselor map. I'll show it to you guys. So this is what it looks like. And you can see we have counselors all over the world. And so then you can just like type in your zip code. So like 8, this is Kansas City zip code. And so you'll see we have different people. This is my coworker, Dr. Stevens. And so then that's what the Find a Counselor map looks like. And you'll have their contact information, either an email or a phone number or both. And then this also notes their specialization. So Dr. Ganchow, she has all three of the specializations.
You're on a great
No. Yeah. I wasn't planning on making it available since all the information is available on the website. But if you would like them, you can just email certification@biblicalcounseling.com. I can share them with you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they mentioned about training to be a fellow. What is that?
Yeah. So the fellow process is pretty rigorous because those are, you know, our real gatekeepers of the organization. So this is for level 2 members. That means men that are ordained and have a theological degree. And so then to become a fellow, you have to have at least a post-baccalaureate theological degree. You have to be a level 2 member for at least 2 years. You have to have done like 500 hours of counseling since becoming certified, and then to do some writing projects to evaluate and stuff. So it's a quite a long process. And then, you know, you are overseen by another fellow and they kind of train you up. So that's kind of what that looks like. But the first part is like, if you're a pastor and you're interested in ACBC certification, like going for certification, and then, you know, just making sure that you have some of those boxes checked after a couple of years.
Recommendations on like where you meet people to discuss these things with them, to counsel them.
Like to counsel people?
Yeah, like how do people do it?
Yeah, so we recommend like looking at your local church first and foremost, or even, you know, churches in your area that are like-minded. Those are great places to go. Yeah, but we really encourage our counselors to look first for their local church, or just like, you know, by word of mouth. Like, for instance, I'm counseling some people just because my sister knows somebody who needs counseling, so she recommended them to me. So, you know, that those sorts of things happen.
Do they come to your house?
No, one of them I meet in my office, and the other one I meet through Zoom.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Do y'all recommend people coming to the house?
Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem. We do, so in our standards of conduct, just to make a note of that, we do not allow women to counsel men or couples. If you're doing team counseling, that's fine, but women can't counsel men or couples. And then we just caution against men counseling women alone for extended periods of time. Like sometimes the pastor will meet a couple of times with one of the ladies in their congregation, and that's great, but we recommend either they bring in another lady or transition them to a spiritually mature woman in their church for counseling. So houses should be fine, but keeping those things in mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't have to be, you know, like in an office. It's, you know, lay counseling is definitely part of the local church, as, you know, Dr. Johnson talked about. It's very much within body life of the church. Yeah.
Is there like an age recommendation, like an age limit? Say like I want to counsel like children or like teenagers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we don't have any, you know, like age limit on that in terms of, you know, you have to counsel people younger than you or older than you. The only thing that really comes with age is that another one of the votes we're having tonight is on an age requirement to become certified. So this is, you know, just like for legal reasons, like we don't have this specified now, but you'll have to be 18 or older to be certified. But other than that, I mean, there is maybe wisdom in having experience in counseling someone younger, and that's great. But, you know, the word of God is sufficient. And so if you're ministering to that somebody who's older than you or, you know, is in a different life stage with you, then that's great. If that's, you know, they don't have other options or they don't have someone else they can turn to.
Is there a limitation regarding the age of the counselee?
Mm-mm. Yeah, so in terms of like if there was like a child situation, we do encourage our counselors to work with the parents. And, you know, you know, counseling the parents to shepherd their child. But that's, you know, a kind of a case by case situation. And that's something you would want to work out with your fellow, definitely. And they can give you a lot of great guidance on that. Yeah. Okay, we're about to have a couple of more minutes. Any last questions? You guys have been great. I really appreciate all of your participation, your questions. This has been really good.
Where are you guys located at?
We're in Kansas City, so right up here. Yeah, well, we're on Midwestern's campus. So that's how I actually found, I started working for ACBC. I started my master's at Midwestern, and so that's how I got connected. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there any guidance you offer for how to...
Yeah, so there, you know, some churches can support, you know, a larger counseling center that employs people, but it's really just on a case-by-case basis. We do allow our counselors to charge a reasonable fee, but our standards of conduct say that it can't be an exorbitant fee, and you can't turn away someone for counseling just because they can't pay. And so some people do counsel full-time, whether in a ministry context or, you know, one of our training centers or that sort of thing. So that it is a possibility. Yep. All right, folks. Well, I hope you enjoy the rest of the day. You enjoy the next plenary.
There's one point we can do afterwards. I was just asking the legalities that you could run into with certain counseling situations, like topics or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have that covered anywhere? Like, you know, when it's this an issue, this issue, you have to report it?
Yeah. So if there's like an abuse situation or anything like that, we require our counselors to report to the authorities. Yeah, that'll be in our standards of conduct. And on those specific things, we have some resources on our website. Your fellow, again, would be giving you guidance on that, too.
And if a counselor is being sued, is ACBC helping at all?
I don't know about how that works. That's above my pay grade. Yeah, but we do have some resources on the legal issue side of things on our website, so I would encourage you to go there.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
You're listening to a resource from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to promote excellence in biblical counseling. For more resources or to find out more information about ACBC, please visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.